Hello, and welcome to Enough Wicker, a podcast where we'd rather have the cash as we discuss the greatest television show of all time, The Golden Girls. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Sarah.
And today we're tackling the 176th episode in the series. Wow, so many episodes. Rose, Portrait of a Woman.
The rather have the cash sounds to the uneducated like it's like a last minute cash grab. We have like five episodes left. And we're like,
Yeah.
somebody sponsor us, please. Which is funny.
We
But
do accept
no.
Venmo.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I didn't mean to say five episodes left. I think in talking about the actual run of the show, yes, but I don't know if you wanted to cover the elephant in the room here, which is that we're towards the end.
Yeah, we sure are. Well, I mean, yes, we're gonna obviously go through the do the episodes. We have a couple other fun sort of bonuses, one of which will hopefully involve you, the listeners. We'll put out a more formal call, but you can start thinking about it. Basically, like we kind of wanna reminisce a bit and hear if anything we said on this podcast or anything you sort of learned about from us. We've obviously introduced hopefully introduce you to a number of really incredible scholars and ideas and thoughts. And so we'd love to hear like what your takeaways were. If any of your perspectives on the show have changed or anything we said that really resonated with you, or if you totally disagreed with us, we want to hear that too. So we'll roll out something more formal and invite some submissions. And then the other fun thing we're gonna do, which we've talked about is Sarah and I both take pretty extensive notes as we're watching the show. And historically, we have not looked at each other's, but we're gonna do that and see what surfaces for us. Because I do believe we've said this, but for certain episodes, I have like two full pages of literally more or less just the script. And for some others, I have some other sort of more thoughtful commentary. And Sarah, I'm assuming you do too. I haven't looked yet. But
Mine's
yeah, just
just smiley
basically,
faces drawn in the margins.
yeah, I love this show.
Just over and over.
Yeah, it's a good show. Yeah, but basically, we're gonna stretch it out a bit. And then at the very end, we might do something fun for anybody who can be in the New York City area, maybe like, a bit of a wrap party. We'll roll out information on that as well. But that's just sort of what we're thinking, as we approach the end. We're getting really close.
I know. It's really, really wild. So, but yeah, I'm really excited for a bunch of the special projects and yeah, those of you who are in the New York area or who want to be, hopefully we'll have some more details for you soon about a springtime affair.
Yeah.
I mean, I really wish we could hire somebody like Laszlo to like make like a live sculpture or something at the moment. I don't think their budget's quite that high, but yeah, I love to imagine that we're gonna go to a type of place that is always in the establishing shot of all their fundraisers, but it's probably just gonna be a dive bar.
Yeah. Don't come if you're sick, also. We'll give you a word later.
Yeah, seriously. But yeah, no, I'm really excited about this the notes project and everything, especially with sort of the scholarship bent. But it'll be fun to kind of go back in time. I mean, we've been doing this now for 4 years, which
Yeah.
is wild to think about.
Yeah.
But it's exciting. And we said at the beginning, I was like, if we're gonna do this, we're gonna do it all the way. And Lauren's like, obviously, you're the only one that would do that. And then we have.
Yep.
So I'm very glad that both of us are follow-throughers.
Yeah, in this particular instance.
Yes, well, fair, fair, fair. So, but we can't count our chickens yet because we need to talk about boudoir photos.
Yeah, we sure do.
As well as Joe.
Yeah. Joe who?
Joe Mama points in the air.
Oh, it's laughs. It never gets old.
It really is. It's really very funny. This episode, did you see in the beginning? It was actually written by Bobby Spina, whose name you might recall from Mr. Haha, Bobby Spina,
Yeah.
which is really funny. Jumped right out at me.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because in the next episode, which we'll get into more, but Cindy Lou Peoples, that is a name that
Yeah.
Mark Terry has used another time. He used it on
Yeah.
Desperate Housewives too.
Totally. And it's apparently like somebody he knew or like part of, I
Yeah.
forget,
I
Colucci's
mean,
book
even like
said what it
Zbornak,
was.
right? Like that's
Oh,
from,
yeah. That's Ken Zbornak.
yeah.
Exactly. I know. I love that actually. It's kind of like little, like fun Easter eggs, you
Yeah.
know, in jokes. It's great. So, anyway, what do you think of, so what do you think of this kind of a present? I mean, regardless of what Rose thinks of it, what do you think of a boudoir photograph for your lover as a present?
Mean, I'd rather have the cash.
Oh,
It's not for me. It's not something that I feel like, what do you do with like an 8x10 nude photograph? Like, what are you gonna hang that in your house somewhere? Like,
keep
I
it
don't
in
know.
your
I feel like
bedside table.
it's pretty large to be like in a private place.
Yeah, that's bigger than
And
8x10. They actually, I was just thinking, because he holds it in his hands. It's probably
yeah, it's
like what,
probably cool. Yeah, it's
18 by
huge.
24.
That's big. Next to your like college degrees.
Degrees.
No, so actually, interestingly, like I remember when one of my friends was pregnant and she was in these like Facebook groups for like expecting moms, like largely
Yeah.
suburban moms. And like a pregnant boudoir shoot is like a thing that was trending a couple years ago. I don't know if that's still a thing that people do. But I remember that, and it's like, I don't know. I want to be supportive of it, obviously, but it's a little bit cringe for me when, like in Rose's instance, for example, like she's not comfortable. So like I think the key in these things is like you have to be confident and comfortable. And if you are, then like totally works. But if you're not, it like I have to imagine it comes through. And it
Yeah,
just
yeah.
comes to be so weird because like it's out of character for Rose, obviously. Like she could get convinced, but it's sort of weird for Blanche, especially after we just went through the thing with the private detective. Like, and you know Rose, and you know that Rose is like the type to like bring out a flannel nightgown. Like, why are
Yeah.
you setting her up for this?
Totally.
And the golf club would have been perfectly fine.
Yeah, and it is interesting when you think about it playing on the past narratives between Rose and Miles and Blanche interfering, because like, to be fair, the Blanche interfering pieces like actually have called to light, like, I guess some issues of communication between Rose and Miles. But like, this is the same setup where you're just like, this isn't necessarily something. I mean, I guess it's a little bit different, because it is a true surprise. It's not something he asked for. And I have thoughts about her doing everything right to prevent him from opening it in front of his bros. But anyway, it
Yeah,
changed my mind a
yeah.
little bit on Miles. But just going to the photos in general. So a good friend of mine, I forget why, but like, she's not exactly the type to be like, I want to take a sexy photo of myself for my husband. But her friend did these photos, I think. And if this friend is listening, you can correct me later if I'm wrong. But I think her friend like took these types of photographs. And it was just something, I think it was in this exact same way where like the husband didn't really know it. He's, from my impression of him as a platonic friend, isn't exactly the kind of guy to be like, yeah, you know, like that, like this will be the thing. You know, he's not a classic stereotype of this, like, you know, horny suburban dude.
Yeah.
But they actually have like a really, like, not totally nude, you know, just like a photo, and it at least at one point was like hanging in their bedroom,
Yeah.
which was like a sexy button legs, like of, you know, like a looking over his shoulder kind of photo, which is great. You're just like, you know, I like you said, if you're comfortable like celebrating yourself that way, everybody should celebrate themselves and bodies and et cetera. But it is a specific type of framing, and it's specifically like really putting you on the spot. Not to mention, especially these days where we're all so trained to be like, I'm going to reject, you know, 499 out of 500 photos of myself.
Yeah.
It's like really challenging. especially with the extra pressure of like being sexy, right? And I assume it's like kind of what Miles alludes to later, where you're like, when you're apart, you know, you have this like sort of visual reference to, I don't know, get you charged up or something.
It's a cringe for me. Like, unfortunately, it is cringe for me. It's just so like put on, you know, and I think like even we definitely should talk about it, but when he's opening it, like, I think he truly is caught up in the moment because like they're surprising him and it's loud and everyone's like cheering. All of these guys who are like subtly dressed like Mr. Rogers. And I don't think he would ever think to not open it. And so I feel like he just doesn't register Rose's objections. I don't think it's him ignoring them. I don't think he would do that.
You think he's just like what she's supposed to, like she's just like, oh, I'm embarrassed because it's a gift from me. Like,
yeah.
It's
like,
just
oh,
a
it's
generic
a great
one.
Gift. And it's like, he's just trying to be like, no, it's fine. You know, like that's what I took from it. But I mean, it ends up being fair. I guess it just feels like, I don't know. And then when Blanche is doing it, which I do find to be really funny, when they're at career day and she's like, you know, like trying to mimic Miles' conversation. She's like, hey, Cindy.
That shit is so funny.
Funny.
We have an understanding, honey. I mean, it's actually really hilarious. Like, I hate it, but it's great.
Yeah, I know. The voices are really funny to me. But it's like, I don't know, why are we doing that again? I think we already have
I know. We've already established. Yeah.
And even if we don't take the past into consideration, it's just like, there's nothing in his behavior that's indicating infidelity. And like, you know, it just feels like she's putting Rose in a position to do something that she likes to do, that she feels confident doing. For what? Like, she seems to have created an
Right.
insecurity in Rose that like wasn't there before.
Absolutely. You're right. And like the previous, you know, storylines have actually been reason, right? With him being weird about his surgery and other things.
Right.
There was like a reason for it. I will say though, since we're talking about it, I can excuse Miles sort of like ignoring Rose's protests up until the point where she tells him exactly what it fucking is. And then he does not stop opening it. And then he holds it up. He should have immediately, like, he sees it and he should drop it. Like, he should just be like, this is not appropriate to. And then I think my most egregious part is he's like, what in the world were you thinking dashing off like that? And you're like, fucking really? Are you serious? Like, come on, man. Like, he sort of like blames her for it. Like, oh, you know, that was so weird and rude. And you're like, bro, come on. Like, you don't think that she's going to be embarrassed about this? Like, come on. Especially because they all were like, whoa, like gawking at her, right? And I think the other gross part of this is like, this is not something that a man would necessarily do and take like a boudoir photo for, you know, his female lover. Like, it's strictly of like, oh, the man needs to have some material or whatever.
Right. Which is also maybe like the
Certainly.
Root of like, you know, part of my objections to it, which is
of
like,
course.
It's, and I don't know, I think like the end when the conclusion comes up, and I think that Miles actually does a really good job, I guess, when they're talking and he's talking about like, you know, like what he had in his locker. And I think the Rita Hayworth joke is funny. Like, it's funny to put that in.
Right.
So I think it ends on a fine note. Yeah, I don't know. Even like the when you're beautiful older, like I like the sentiment. I'm not crazy about the way it's delivered.
Oh, what
It
do you
just,
mean?
I don't know, like it feels a little bit like not in conflict with the idea that like older women can be like sexy and you know, attractive and things like that, but it's, I don't know, it just feels like an unnecessary explanation. And like and you know, I guess it's okay because Rose's sort of problem is like those women are younger and whatever, and I guess that's it, like she's insecure about it still, like she doesn't feel comfortable doing it. And I just like, it's really hard for me to get past that, like she didn't feel comfortable taking the photo, she
right.
didn't feel comfortable doing it, like she's thinking about the, you know, like supermodels who were in their 20s and 30s when they were famous. And I'm not saying that I think that that's good either, obviously, like I prefer her to be more confident, but since she's not, it just feels like I don't know. And then Miles has to reassure her that she's beautiful. Like, it never works for me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it doesn't, like you said, like Blanche sort of planted this in her brain and it's not gone at the end of it, you know, but also like it's never, I don't know. Yeah, I think I know what you're getting at, too, because it just has this grossness over it of like, well, of course he would go for a younger woman when given the chance. And it's just like, again, it's like this lack of trust and communication between them. And it's also imprinting a stereotypical heterosexual male in Blanche's eyes, which means that they're just horned up all the time and they're always going to go for the younger girl, you know, relationships, commitment be damned kind of thing. And it's like, yeah. It's just really, it's a, you know, it does men a disservice. It does women a disservice. It's just like kind of gross all around. But they certainly have like quite a horned up couch kiss. They're like really, really making out like at the end when they come back together.
They reconcile.
Yeah, I didn't even think about the fact that this is like, I mean, it's clearly a Blanche meddling storyline, but I didn't think about the fact that it's kind of just repetitious. Like the repetitious nature of the storyline of Blanche sort of meddling in Rose and Miles' relationship, which probably could be solved if they have challenges a different way.
Right. And they don't seem to have this particular challenge. Like,
right.
You know, even when Rose is talking about like Godzilla, like it seems like they're very satisfied and like very comfortable. And like, it's different from what Blanche defines as like a successful relationship, I guess. But, you know, it doesn't really matter. And it's just inserting, it's projection, really. I feel like it's like Blanche inserting stuff in there when it's not even, you know, like it's not even an issue for them.
Totally. Yeah, it's it's kind of funny because it's just like, I don't know, the scene of college and like, you know, like we said, Blanche like putting the words in the mouth is really funny, but like, you know, they're just talking about like the most boring English professor or something. And then to your point of like the King Kong chest pounding Fay Wray thing, like he says like, hello, Fay Wray. Like they're just fucking dorks together. Like,
yeah, it's like, exactly.
It's really funny. Come to think of it, we didn't make love that night. Oh boy. But yeah. But anyway, I feel like there are a lot of people who don't like Miles, and I will say that I changed a little bit based on how he reacted to her protests of, because I feel like in the sitcom, just one more note on it and then I'll stop going on about this, but like I feel like in the sitcom, like classic storyline, like somebody protests and they go, no, don't, no, don't. And nobody actually knows why they're saying no until like the punchline is the joke that somebody does whatever they're doing and the cat's out of the bag. But this time she's actually like, it's a sexy picture of me. Don't open it. Like she's so direct. She literally does absolutely everything right. And it just, I'm like, come on, bro.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. That's fair. And that's, you know, that's a violation.
Exactly.
Yeah, Miles is a hot topic.
I know, right? So I never really felt like that before, but you know, I don't know, the tide's changing from Rose Portrait of a Woman. So what should we tackle next?
Well, let's talk about, I mean, obviously want to get into Dorothy's stuff. Let's talk about Career Day. Because I do think actually
the idea of Career Day.
Yeah, Career Day in general, but specifically when Rose is talking about how in St. Olaf a shepherd spoke at Career Day, I feel like you've definitely talked about how St. Olaf stuff doesn't always work, doesn't always land for you. But that to me was funny. I felt like it was short.
That's
like
real.
Kooky bit. It worked for me.
Straight up. So yeah, have you, like, what are the experiences of Career Day in your, like, when you were growing up? Did you have people come in like this? Like, I don't really remember anything. I'm sure I did.
Well, I would say that, first of all, this looks more like a career fair to me, where, like, people are, like,
jobs. Yeah, fair.
We did have a career day. I feel like it was in fifth grade or maybe sixth grade. My mom came, which was really fun. And my mom was a she was basically like a regional photo trainer for a pharmacy chain. So basically what that meant was like when there used to be the process for developing photos, like she would go around the state and like teach people to do that. And so she brought like fun, like, you know, like photo paper and whatever, like it was a Kodak era. So I feel like even like maybe we all got disposable cameras. And
Totally.
then I feel like the other person was one of my friend's dads who worked for the state, and maybe like a cop or a fireman or something. I feel like you are legally
Sounds right.
obligated to have like a
Yeah.
service, like
Yeah. That's an American rule.
yeah, the DARE officer just doubles.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's cute. I think it's a cute idea. Yeah, I do feel like it's more for like younger kids. I think of it less like
Yeah.
this feels like, you know, college students like seeking work or like high school students even seeking work. But I have a more sort of nostalgic, like fluffy feeling around Career Day. I don't know, what do
Right.
you think?
Little kid stuff. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm still confused as to why Dorothy has to go. And it's like, it's just so interesting. Like I just keep hearing, you know, like Sophia's voice in my head of like substitute teacher. But I just, yeah, I guess she's like she's obligated. It's like part of what she has to do. And then like her speech is something like the tradition of American education or something really funny. I mean, it makes sense to have an education representative in like an older kid career fair, right? Just
For
next to the guy who made millions in video games. Like I get it. But it is kind of hilarious. Like she's the one that ends up going because you're just like okay, and to this point, like I think I don't know. She certainly doesn't seem happy about like this is what's
ever.
so confusing to me about this episode. Yeah, I mean like obviously fulfilling in like the re there's a reason she's a teacher, right? And we've seen it before where you know she like again she you know t takes her substitute teacher responsibilities very seriously and just teaching in general, which is great, right? Like you should, you know, she doesn't have to just push in the TV or whatever. You know, she makes sure that the quarterback actually knows how to spell shiitake, whatever. Like,
Yeah.
but so like there is a passion there. And there's like definitely a like trying to get through to kids there. But I don't know why she's such a like mope about career day. You'd think it would be like exactly the opportunity that she wants to take and like affect change. And in fact, at the end of the episode, we see that she does want to affect change. She does want to remain in high school. And I'm really just confused. And I don't know if it's just the standpoint of 2024 and me being like, God, you gotta fucking sell out because like you can't survive. I'm just like, take the tape recorder job, bro. Like, what are you
Yeah.
doing?
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about that a little bit. So it is
Yeah.
interesting because I think this kind of presents like the conflicting nature of being a teacher, which is like she does really love to affect change. I think Randy Becker is actually like a really great example of that. And he's, I think like he's so grateful. And I think it actually is a really,
It's
really
really
nice
sweet.
gesture to add to, yeah, to offer
Really?
this job that he knows is cushy, that he knows pays really well. Like he's not thinking she's gonna have a big impact. He's like, hey, I have this job on my payroll. Like you've earned
Totally.
it. Why don't you take it?
Absolutely.
And
Just
like
have to talk to Joe, see what Joe thinks about all this.
yeah, he's with IBM. No, right. And it's like, first of all, also the Randy Becker like arc of, oh, always sneaking off to the arcade and now he's like a video game guy, like that's just like John Noretti in the spray paint. So
Absolutely.
true.
Exactly. Good call out. That's
Yeah.
exactly like tracking, which is funny because like as we all know, that's not how life works out.
Yeah.
There is like a trope of just like, yep, exactly how when you were like at 6 years old, that's
You just
exactly
liked
what you're
what you
gonna do.
liked, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
No, it's
but
wild.
you're right. That is a very John Noretti thing. It's so funny. I do love how he's like, I've made millions in video games because he's
Yeah.
actually like as shocked as she is, you know.
Yeah, nobody talks like that, I know.
Yeah.
But okay, so there's this one sort of perspective, right? That she's really like, she does really feel strongly about being a teacher, which we see also, like, I feel like when she's trying to advance, like when she's her gambling addiction makes her unable to interview for the principal's job, but you know, she's trying to advance it. I think the problem is like being a substitute teacher in the context that it often is. They make a lot of comments about driver's ed.
Yeah.
But like, that's not satisfying.
I hate those cones.
that's not satisfying to her, right? And so like, I think it is truly an instance of like, what's realistic? Also, you're older, like you don't have that much time left to work,
right? Yes, I didn't think about that point.
Feeling it, like you're not currently like there. You're complaining a lot about being a substitute teacher, and like you could work at this job and then like, I don't know, tutor or do something that like actually checks the box of satisfaction, which I think is important. Like, I definitely think it's important to feel engaged and you know, challenged and all that and what you're doing every day,
right?
But also money is important, and at some point, like I'm glad you brought that up, because I just feel like take the money. Like, you
totally. Well, I mean, in Dorothy's defense, I do feel like that when she got a kid deported once, that she's probably soured on tutoring. But I think
stay away from that, I guess.
yeah. But to your point, like, I think this is such an interesting point, again, from the vantage point of 2024, because the way that our parents grew up was very like this, where it's like, oh, you were six, you showed an interest in spray paint, and that is your career, you know, whatever it is. And it's very like all or nothing, right? You have to choose a single path, because you typically had a full-time job and it was benefits, you stayed with the same company and like all those kind of things. Again, typically, not for everyone, but it's way more common, and we won't even have to get into this here, but you know, Reagan started it, was like the splintering of American society because of this crazy capitalist machine that we all have to deal with, that like people have multiple jobs, and like a lot of it's not by choice, obviously. But that there is more room, I guess, for various interests. And to your exact point, a lot of people do have their passion project on the side and something that they want to affect change in. And then they have something that pays the fucking bills, because quite frankly, our society is unfortunately not set up in that people who are practicing the tradition of American education and all that kind of stuff, they're not paid well at all. Right. We're paying the crazy, like, video game capitalists and other things. Not that video games aren't fun and relaxing and cool, but I just mean, like, you know, a hedge fund manager who's just sucking the lifeblood out of society is making like 4 million times more than a teacher or a nurse or whatever, right? So we all know this. And I think it is especially frustrating where it is presented as like, you know, and I get the moral, like, you can't just be a whore for money. That's not how it works. But I think that these conversations are way more relevant today to like make these choices because of survival. And what's funny is that in this era, they also are struggling to survive a lot, right? They can't afford the big TV as a splurge for your mother, who, you know, is very old. And to your point, like, she doesn't have that much time to work. And, you know, you are obviously still paying into paying back the mortgage for Blanche's house or getting equity or whatever their arrangement is. And it's like, you're not flush. And it just seems like a very silly choice. But anyway, I just took such, like, it just bothered me a lot just because of the purposeful misery that they set up in the beginning of her job. And I think your point of like, you can find that satisfaction elsewhere without having to turn down something that's going to improve your quality of life and your mother's quality of life.
Right. And you know, that is a relatively, I think, maybe like a modern take. The 90s corporate.
Yeah, it is.
So present. And like, that is real. It's like, yeah, you're going to sit in a room with a bunch of guys who are going to come in. Then they're going to go golfing and you're going to get a hefty paycheck. And that is very, like, honestly, like, that's, there's a direct tie to that from Reagan to 2008 to the, you know, the whole thing.
Totally.
But like, I guess, yeah. And, you know, like, they have money problems a lot. Like, it just feels so impractical to me not to take it. I think we have to get, like, you know, the Randy, I think Randy is such a great character who, by the way, is played by the late Tom Villard, is his name. And he, you all might recognize him from gargling next to Grandma Moses and the Moses in an earlier episode.
How can you not hear his voice? I mean, it's just like it's such a unique voice.
But he died like pretty soon after this, actually.
Yeah, from AIDS related complications. Yeah. He was like really I read up on him a little bit. You know, he was one of like he was pretty open and out, you know, at this time, which was somewhat normal, but also not at all. And you know, it's a real shame because he was in a lot of very funny stuff and had a lot of his career ahead of him.
Just want to, call him out.
Again, Reagan.
Yeah, again. And actually, somebody named Hyun Young is also the student in the class who is doing everything, and
Oh
also
yeah.
plays Dr. Chang.
Toyo Mama? Yeah, Dr. Chang, exactly.
In an early episode.
The poor
But
guy can't just, he's like, you are the Asian.
yeah, I know. He's such a stereotype.
There's a little less rough at this one, but still stereotypes.
Yeah, it's not as bad as it could be, but it's still not great.
It's still not great.
Yeah.
I do love that he does get to have his joke at the end where he's not just like a stuck up fuddy duddy, like I did all the homework kind of guy.
Yeah,
So
it
I
is funny.
appreciate that.
It's
I
nice.
appreciate that. Oh.
Yeah, and I get it. I think Dorothy gives this like big time to learn speech, but they're all like, that was great, but I am gonna go do this corporate thing.
I mean, I
And it's
really.
like, if Dorothy were a different person, she would just be like, "Yeah, I'm gonna go do this corporate thing too." But she doesn't. She's got to be in high school making no money with,
$4
and
an
she
hour, yeah.
talks about all the cutbacks and like how they don't have enough textbooks and all of this, and like
I mean,
that's not
shit,
enough money.
bro.
Like it's still pretty tough to be a public school teacher.
So
So
check the
make
box in
some
the corporate thing.
money.
Let the guys play golf and then also have the other job. That's
I
another thing
know.
people are
I
doing
know.
today, right? Or go buy them textbooks. Christ, a
Yeah.
Rama. Anyway. I really love the guy. I mean, I first of all, like, let's even just bring it back when you're talking about her speech. Like, what is she going to be teaching them? Like, it's really,
I
I am
know.
almost tempted to stay. I love that delivery. I think that's a very good delivery from that guy. But like, I haven't been to a seminar like that. What are you going to be saying? Like, this is very bizarre. I'm just like fascinated by the material where she's going to like energize their minds.
I know, because he says it's their sales force. So you would think it would just be like, go out and sell, which
Right,
doesn't feel
like,
like it has a book element, but I don't know, maybe it's like knowledge
I
of
mean,
the science or
it has a book
something.
element, but nothing that's going to be like so inspiring that like Dorothy is going to get pumped on it. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be about taking advantage of people.
Yeah, so I don't know. Even that is like she's not an energetic. I guess she could do it, but like I don't know, is she an energetic like speaker? It reminds me of I feel like there were so many media pieces about like it's a pretty nasty picture, but like of Purdue Pharma and like how their
Yeah, yeah.
salespeople were all like jazzed up every day, go out and sell, 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 and like that's what I'm picturing. Obviously, this is way
Totally.
less toxic.
Well,
But
we yeah, I yeah, I guess it's yeah, because of video game guys or something.
right.
It's sold to arcades or something. But yeah, it's like, oh, I don't know. Yeah, everything about it makes me just like really question exactly what's going on here. But I do appreciate that, like, I don't know. It's like I'm never really on the side of like white corporate dudes, but they have a great point.
Yeah, they
It's like
really do.
I really appreciate it, but like whatever. We're gonna go play golf. Like that's why we're in Miami, you know.
Yeah, and that's the corporate excess. Like that's the company spending it. And that's why I think it also is just like it's truly like actually the reward of making an impact on someone is like, Randy Becker is trying to pay it forward and he's trying to be like, spread the wealth around and like appreciate her. And I really do find that to be like such a nice thing, particularly for a student who was like impacted by a teacher.
Yeah.
I think that that's really nice. And yeah, I think we've definitely established like we definitely think she should have taken the money. Keep the
For real.
TV.
I do really love how he remembers her, you know? Like it's really nice. Like, 'cause she's a substitute teacher. I mean, granted, he had her for a semester or whatever when they like misgender the teacher who got a sex change operation. I was like, how's he doing? What? You just talked about I'm getting
Yeah,
sex
huge
change
thing.
operation. Yeah. But I do love the Attila the sub. She's like, I love that name. It's kind of awesome. It's
Totally.
very like reclamatory. You know, she's just like, yeah, I know they're kind of making fun of me, but I fucking love it, which is great. So I also really adore the little pink like 80s 90s lunchbox that like Sophia packs
so
for
cute.
Salami and a thermos of wine.
The same lunch as your first day of
I definitely
school.
Had that lunchbox in various forms. The one most memorable was Alf. Alf was on my
Alf.
First
I had a couple
lunchboxes.
Too. It's really cute, and it's cute when Sophia's initially holding it, but then when you find out that it's Dorothy's lunch, it's like,
I know,
very adorable.
I don't like the mocking of, you know, Dorothy's, I guess, masculinity. Don't you seem a little aggressive with the shoulder pads? But I do appreciate a good shoulder pad call out, because that is obviously the fashion of this show and this era, and it's pretty great.
Yeah, it's like an unnecessary dig, but also it is gotta call out the shoulder pads of this era.
Yeah, for real, for real. I want to talk about too this whole like again, speaking of mocking Dorothy and everything, like it's a fairly easy one as far as like seventh season knocks go, except for the whole conversation about like Sophia's friend who didn't know she had a daughter. I was like, it's pretty mean, and like, come on, that doesn't actually track. Yeah, exactly. And she would have talked about Gloria. If she's known her for 25 years, she would have talked about her rich daughter who, you know, lives in a palace and married rich, very rich, you know, whatever. No parakeet. Like, yeah, whatever. I mean, like, I get it. Like, it's exciting for Sophia that, you know, that Dorothy has this, like, rich job, whatever. But it is, I don't know. That part falls flat for me. It's, like, too mean for how funny it is, because it's not very...
Yeah, that's definitely fair. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously meant to like punctuate, like I think it beats your son the cable installer, which is funny on its own. Like that could just say this idea of like, you know, it's obviously rooted in some problematic beliefs about what success looks like and like career, you know, all that.
Totally.
Yeah, it doesn't, it's just like unnecessary, and also like she lives with her, like you've never been to Sophia's house, it doesn't really add up.
Yeah, exactly. It's very strange. That's what I mean. It's like, ah, come on, you know. Yeah. So but yeah, it's like, yeah, I mean, I besides that, I do enjoy like Sophia's glee, you know, like because like obviously Tanya, I mean, it's so funny, I forgot that this like Tanya appears so late in the game. There's so much focus on, you know, as I mentioned before, like struggling with money throughout this entire series run, right? So it's kind of hilarious, and that big screen TV, which is like rear projection, which is like the heaviest television possible. And I remember people I grew up with like having TVs like that with that remote control that like looks like a keyboard, like a full size keyboard. It's so
all of
great.
It's huge, like
it's
the TV
enormous,
is giant.
It's so crazy.
Yeah, it's cute that she
but
gets
the name
to
her Tanya is fun.
Yeah, and raising her allowance I think is fun.
Yeah,
also 1300 easy payments.
Yeah, once he found out I was Jessica Tandy, I got a deal. Oh gosh, it's really great. But yeah, I think it's like, I don't know, even at the end where like Sophia's so bummed, and yes, whatever, it's a TV, but I feel like that matters, and I feel like it's interesting because I'm just kind of like, Dorothy, you could have just done probably like 2 seminars and been able to afford that television. You know what I mean?
Yeah, work
like,
there for a year.
Take a sabbatical.
Yeah.
Whatever. From your part-time substitute job.
Yeah,
I don't know. The
exactly.
More I think about it, the more I'm so mad.
Someone else sets up the driver's ed.
Yeah, right? Come on, you know?
Yeah.
Oh,
well, okay. So a couple more
gracious.
Things I want to just like mention. So the very end, she's like... you know, talking to him about like nuking the white haired mother.
Oh
that
yeah,
funny.
That's right.
I think that really people really love that. It's, you know, it's funny to like visualize too. I think particularly when you're talking about like 80s, 90s, like arcade games, like the graphics and like the idea of this grandmother being there. That's funny to me.
Well, didn't Shady Pines Ma 85 Charlie actually made like a visual of the video game on his Instagram, I'm
He
pretty
did.
sure.
And Wicked Good Memes, I think, has done stuff with it too. I'm not
Yes.
sure. Obviously, Golden Girls posters has hit it on a movie.
Yes.
Yeah, no,
Oh,
it's
I'm sorry. It
been
is
good
Wicker
visit.
Good Memes. Apologies. It is Wicker Good Memes who did the Nuke Ma.
Yeah, I'm sure Shady Pines had a
It's
problem
really
with
funny because
it
the detail that he put into like making the Golden Girls set look like that like pixelated thing, and then
too.
it's just that
Yeah.
like promo photo of Sophia with her arms outstretched. It's actually really, really great.
It's
He
great.
put the pattern of the chairs and the couch like on the front of the machine. It's actually really amazing. So, February 5th was posted. So.
Yeah, go check it out.
So great. Too funny. So yeah, that's excellent. Oh God, the meme makers, they just do such a service.
They really do.
I do love the going back to the first storyline with Rose, where like in the beginning when she's like, you know, I feel cheap. Well, like you know, I mean, so that is like the pinnacle of that exact storyline, and Blanche as well being like, it tells him that he's the only man in your life. I've done it 20, 30 times.
Yeah, that's funny.
It's really great. And then a bit later when Blanche is talking about like the wanton rose, the elemental woman, and she's just
Yeah.
like, actually, I meant my hiney.
Yeah,
Something about the elemental woman is like, I mean, it is amazing. Like Blanche does get very poetic when she starts talking about sex. It's really,
yeah.
it's just magical.
Yeah, she does. And like Rose, you know, like Rose just brings it back to Rose.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But that's all I had for this one, you know. I mean, it's a romp, you know. It's a good one.
The one thing I wanted to point out is I think this post credit bit is actually really funny with Sophia taking the photos in a nightgown.
Oh
And
yes, yeah.
what a good one for the obit. That's funny.
Yeah, that is actually that's probably honestly the best one of the season
The best one
or
I've
the
seen
series
for
rather.
sure.
Yes, for sure, exactly. Oh, that's great. Oh man, well, that was fun times.
Yeah.
Join us next time when we discuss studying yearbooks, the meaning of family, and a lot less sex and a lot more church. Take care, everybody.